Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome. This is the Snapcast, brought to you by the Nonprofit Snapshot and
Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
I'm Mickey Desai, and at the table we've got
Caroline Eccles
and
Lindy Chaffin-Start.
Lindy runs her own, am I correct in calling it a marketing firm?
Correct. Marketing advertising.
And it's called
Unstoppable Start Studios.
And we'll find you at unstoppablestart.com.
Correct.
I took some notes during the last break, and I wanted to ask you about a number of things, the first of which is A-B testing. And I know about the term only through email marketing campaigns. So what is A-B testing? Split testing.
What is split testing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to flip over to my notes so I don't sound like an idiot. In this case, we'll just use email marketing as your example.
Right.
Okay. So if you're not doing focus groups around campaigns, which I highly recommend doing focus groups, even if it's internal and with their friends, do polls on Facebook. Put campaign thoughts out there and see how people react to them. A-B testing is one of those things where you can change your subject line, your donate button, the shape, color, size, placement, storylines, that kind of thing, the language you use for your ask. You can tweak it. And in the last episodes, we had talked about making sure you know you're talking directly to your constituents, which is critical. It's critical to know who they are. It's critical to develop a message. And then once you have the campaigns developed for each group of constituents, you can A-B test along these lines. And whichever one performs better, then utilize that data and tweak your campaign and push it out.
So how many people would you, so like, would you do this like, I know direct mail is kind of dead, but like how would you, I don't know, how many people would you send this out to test A and to test B and to figure out which works better?
That's a very good question, and it's going to depend on the size of your campaign and the number of constituents that you're dealing with. If you have 100,000, I would say do a test to 500 to 1,000 and see how that goes. I think that gives you a good feel.
Like 5%, 10%. Yeah.
So you wouldn't do a 50-50 split on an A-B test? Because the scientist in me is like, if I have 100,000 test subjects, quote-unquote, then I'm going to split it right down the middle, and half of them are going to get A and half of them are going to get B, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I would do that with a percent. If you're dealing with a campaign, like an annual campaign, I would say take that segment down and test it first before you send it out.
Yeah.
And go from there. That way you're dealing with data that you know is more compelling before you go to the full thing. Otherwise, you're just using them as an experiment.
Right.
And you don't want to experiment with your marketing.
No. Don't experiment with the marketing.
Don't experiment with your marketing.
Okay.
I saw a speaker one time, and she said, if you put like a puppy on anything, it brings in more money. Yes. Or a kitten.
Give Bessie a puppy.
It's crazy with
her meal.
Drives me absolutely batty, but I think that's the truth. It's like, okay, can't we just take care of people because they're people? But anyway.
No. We don't look at half-dressed men that aren't holding puppies either.
Yeah.
Just saying.
My mother gets all this direct mail with money in it. You know, like a quarter or a dollar or $2 bill.
That is so random.
Well, she gives like $5 to like 100 organizations. And so I have to sort through the mail and take the money and throw away the letter. But
take the money and throw away. Well, I mean, there is something to say towards giving value and getting value.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're able to give something of value, even if it's just content.
So at one of my alma maters, a fundraising officer got fired for doing an unethical thing. He wanted to improve the school's alumni engagement numbers. Mm-hmm. And so he sent out a big mailing with money in them and said something like, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, please be in touch with us, or, you know, we're giving you this $5 in advance, mail this postcard back, or something like that. And so it was this, you know, this forward-loaded incentivized thing to send something back to the school, which then counted as an alumni engagement point, and they got rewarded for that. But it turns out the whole practice was unethical, and the school ended up having to fire him. But
Yeah.
So.
That, yeah, I wouldn't want to lose my job that way.
Right. Right.
No, thank you.
So A/B testing is merely taking your overall population and splitting it for an experiment's sake.
Yeah, I mean it's like a mini. Just imagine a mini focus group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anytime a company's trying to define their messaging, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to define your brand promise, your mission, your messaging, you want to make sure that you have buy-in both internally and externally. So I say that by saying, just to say this, do a brand message worksheet. I have one available.
Mm-hmm.
Stop over at unstoppablestart.com and I'll ask for it in the contact form and I'll send it to you. But do the work. Do the work, even if it's just, if you're a small organization and it's you and your best friend and you're trying to get this thing off the ground, sit down and do the worksheet. That way the two of you have buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Send it out to a few friends in a poll on Facebook. See what resonates with people. Take that and move forward with it. Okay. You can do that same thing with organizations that are, you know, 100 million a year organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Start with your internal team, get buy-in, have them send it out to their friends, mm-hmm. Facebook via the pool. So you're dealing with external potential constituents, get their feedback, and then roll with whatever comes out.
So it's not overwhelming. Because when I hear something like that, to me, it's like, I don't have time.
Oh, no.
And we've got to get this money in.
Now.
Yeah.
No. And let me tell you, I'm going to share with y'all. I have my message worksheet here, so I'm going to share some things from it. So the first questions you need to ask are the product or service that you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So remember, small business marketing. So we're translating this into nonprofit for terms.
Mm-hmm.
So what product or service are you selling? What's the end benefit of using it or contributing to it?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your target customer for this product or service? So we've got to develop those nonprofit donor personas. And what makes your offering unique and different? Okay,
right.
So those are your questions. So from that, you want to create your unique value proposition. Now, in corporate, let's talk about what this looks like. So Evernote has this, feel organized without the effort. This is Evernote helps you capture and prioritize ideas, projects, and to-do list so that nothing falls through the cracks. So you want to have a unique value proposition that you can message, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's a good one from an email marketing. Make your emails unforgettable. There's a reason why more than 250,000 businesses worldwide trust Campaign Monitor to power their email marketing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a unique value proposition. So your brand promise, that's another piece. This is kind of like your mission statement. Must convey a compelling benefit, be authentic and credible, and be kept every time.
Right.
So there's some really good examples here, and FedEx is one of my favorite. Your package will get there overnight, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is in 10 words or less.
Right.
This is what we're going to do for you. Apple is another one. Own the coolest out of Apple. Apple, I think it's time to revisit this. own the coolest, easiest to use cutting edge phones, computers, and other consumer electronics. Really? Let's discuss iOS. Okay. So from there, there are also ways to develop your key messages. So you have the ideas now. You've got your unique value proposition. You've got your brand promise. So your key messages, what do you claim? What is the fact around that claim? And then what is an example of that fact around that claim? I know that sounds like a lot.
It is, but it isn't. I'm trying to think of a nonprofit example that we can bring it back to, you know.
Well, let's use Meals on Wheels as an example. We've
okay.
done that before.
Sure.
So we feed, let's see, bringing hot food to thousands of Atlantans daily. That's the claim. The fact would be we quite literally provide 3 meals a day to 150,000 Atlanta residents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Example, Bessie gets breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
delivered to her door. All she has to do is reheat it or open a package
mm-hmm.
once a day.
Yep.
So what's your key message around that? You know, what's that going to end up being? And this takes a lot more thought than what I'm putting into it right now, but... we deliver delicious, high-quality food to seniors, 150,000 seniors in Atlanta daily.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, this is so brand messaging. Not only do you need to have this for your organization, but every campaign, mm-hmm. I think this is critical. It's a simple, I mean, we sat here and went through it in, what, 2 minutes? If you have a team of people sitting around a table and the energy's in the room and you've got them together and they're focused on the same thing, now think about taking your campaign, taking your donor personas, and breaking it out and doing a worksheet for mm-hmm. every donor persona for this campaign, okay?
So what's an example of a donor persona?
Annalise, age 11, plays video games, goes to school, and loves soccer.
Your demographic segments.
Just your demographic segments.
And then how do I...
How do you reach her?
Uh-huh.
And so that's
how
all.
Do I reach her?
Out of, no, right? How do you reach her? So this would be in-game marketing.
Yeah.
I think. This would be sponsorships at her uh-huh. soccer games, things like that.
And you can reach her parents, too.
And you can reach her parents. There's lots of ways. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, but you do this. Say if you have signage at a soccer game that you've co-opted. I mean, we haven't even gotten into co-op advertising, but right. you could co-op with a sponsor in the geographic area that you're trying to target and have them support your nonprofit. Hey, we support. Can you help support?
Mm-hmm.
And take it from there. Lots of opportunity. It's just
right.
a matter of being creative, which is why I say when you're doing the campaign, you know, when you're trying to look at your different donor segments and the campaign as a whole and you're mm-hmm. creating this messaging for each one of those donor segments, you can also, at the same time, you've got your whole team around the table. I imagine your whole team varies widely in generational makeup, right?
Yeah.
So you can ask each one of them, how do you think we could reach this target? How do you think we could reach this mm-hmm. target? And use that, just use that, what you got.
Well, here's the rock I'm about to throw in the pond, which is, I'm a little jaded on the matter of letting teams make decisions like that. Because have you ever watched a board of directors try to tweak a mission statement for a nonprofit? And, you know, we're all laughing about that. I mean, the three of us have done it, and it's never an easy thing. So the minute you get a group together to come up with a creative marketing strategy or statement, I think that's asking a group to bite off more than they can chew.
That's when I say put it to a vote.
Yeah.
That's when you put it out there and see not only internally where everybody is, but externally.
Yeah.
Where you have that. Ask them to put it out to their friends and see which right. one that touches them.
Right.
And once get the vote, and whichever one has the highest vote, it rides.
Because right. sometimes you're too close to it,
of course.
Internal, and you just can't, because what's important to me may not resonate to the outside.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and the other thing, and this is a strategy that I've used not only in terms of trying to craft a statement, but with helping organizations get a grip on their graphics, their you know, visual branding, is to not turn it into a group exercise, because that'll just muck up everything.
Right.
But like when I'm working with a designer one-on-one for something that I need, I try not to get too picky, because you can ask three people about a thing and get six different opinions. What I'll say to that designer is, show me three options, I'm going to pick one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that works. You know, I don't have to get down too into the weeds. The designer has a lot more freedom to do something that's hopefully fun for them to do, and I get something good out of it. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing works with trying to craft a story, not a story, but, you know, the whole defining pieces of what we're talking about in terms of defining the marketing agenda for the nonprofit, which is you come up with a few options and you pick one, as opposed to trying to let the group do it collaboratively, I
right.
think. Unless you have a really good group, I think it's one of those things that turns into a two-hour meeting that just doesn't yield results. So,
and sometimes strong personalities prevail.
Right. Right.
Sometimes they do. I can share a very positive example of this working with an
yeah.
organization. It's not a nonprofit. Again, this is a...
And again, I admit it. I'm a little jaded on the matter, yeah. so take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt. But.
Yes, if you have the right team. But we've done it successfully, doing it this way mm-hmm. with an organization that has 12 or 13 locations, and each one has a head physician,
mm-hmm.
and each of the physicians got to have their say. They got three examples, like you say. They get three examples. They get to vote. Whichever has the highest vote gets moved forward. And we created some really solid branding and messaging for this organization by doing that. And they love it, and they're all in, and we're moving forward pretty quickly. So their brand is the same across
yep.
every location except for the name. The logo is exactly the same. The messaging is the same. The colors are the same. The fonts are the
right,
same.
Right.
So they will be recognized as this organization.
But the names are different?
The names are different for the various and sundry locations. So there's mm-hmm. an umbrella organization And then they have like locations throughout Texas, Nevada, and California. So mm-hmm. all of them were established separately.
Uh-huh.
So one might be X clinic, another might be Y clinic, but the logo mm-hmm. remains the same except for the name. And that's it.
It's interesting. So it's all recognizable.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. It's a fun project to work on.
Should we save fundraising psychology for the next episode?
Sure.
Okay. thank you, Lindy. This has been good.
Yes.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Remind us again how people find you.
At unstoppablestart.com, you can learn everything you want to know about marketing for small business and now nonprofit.
Right. Very cool. And I'm Mickey Desai with the Nonprofit Snapshot. You can find us on nonprofitsnapshot.org.
And I'm Caroline Eccles, principal of Wellspring Nonprofit Resource, and we are at wellspringresource.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you again in about a week. In the meantime, have a great one. Take care.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.